By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spake, and it was. He commanded, and it stood fast. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is in him that we live and we move and we have our being. Therefore, everything that has breath, if you breathe in this morning, you ought to praise the Lord. You should have woke up this morning with thank you on your lips. Lord, I want to thank you for another year. Lord, I want to thank you for another day's journey. Lord, I want to thank you for daily bread. Lord, I want to thank you for health and strength, and you keep sickness away from my body. Can you say amen to that? Because he's worthy to be praised. I want to thank these great brothers for participating in the devotional service this morning. I want to thank Brother Samuel Wyatt, one of God's great servants, who is not only competent and capable, but willing. Sometimes you have competent and capable people, but they're not willing. Praise God. So we thank him for his beautiful invocation this morning. Well, thank Brother Jerry Harris, another one of God's great servants, for the reading of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Brother Ed Bailey, another one of God's servants, great servants. God blessed him with the gift. Well, he gave him a whole lot of gifts. Praise God. Gift of singing, gift of cooking. Amen. Gift of cooking. Gift of cooking. Thank him for his ability. And we thank my dear brother, Brother Sperling, one of God's great servants, who in a very thoughtful, insightful way leads us into prayer, taking us to new dimensions and new insights about prayer. It's a very powerful tool. You haven't tried it, you need to try it in 2016. You ought to take your prayer life to the next level. Amen? So we thank all of these great men who have participated in the service today. And we want to thank every member of this congregation for your presence and for your support of this ministry. We give thanks to God for all of the faithful saints. We give thanks to God for the Bush Hills Church of Christ, its leadership, its membership, and making an impression in the world. Amen? We don't have the most members, we don't have the most money, but we do make a significant impact in this world. People know about the Bush Hills Church of Christ, located at 1400 Fourth Avenue West. We're thankful for all of our guests today. I think Anissa's grandmother, is that right, Anissa, is with us today. And I told Anissa that I owe her a debt, because without her, she wouldn't be here. So thank you, Grandmama, for making sure Anissa got here where she could help us. I think that's Brother Carlisle in the back. Is that right? From the Woodland Park Church. Good to see you, Brother Carlisle, visiting with us today. And let us be in prayer for Sister Janice and her loss. We'll let her know we love her and we're with her. And if you didn't know, Brother Michael Alexander, who used to worship with us, his mother passed away on New Year's Day. So let's remember that family and others who are in that valley called death. Amen. But I'm glad that the Lord of glory will go with you in that valley and help you. Amen. Amen. Now I have a very special lesson for you for today from the Word of God. If you have your personal copies of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Psalms. Psalms 119. The chapter is 119. And if memory serves me correctly, this is the fourth division of the Psalms. Fourth division, chapter 119. We're going to look at verses 59 and 60. This will be our textual consideration for this message. Psalms 119, verses 59 and 60. And we are asking you to read these verses after me as we do. And I'm reading this morning from the New King James Version. Psalms 119, verses 59 through 60. If you have it, say amen. Amen. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Let's read it once again, my dear brothers and sisters. I thought about my ways, turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. I want to thank the people of God for reading the Word of God in the house of God. Amen? And I want to thank my beautiful daughters, specifically Brandy and Tracy, for turning the light on for me. Y'all all right? Amen. And these other brothers who be rocking these bow ties, I thought I'd get me a piece of that. Amen. So I want to thank them. I was in the dark, but they brought me to the light. Praise God. You got to acknowledge who helped you. Praise God. Is that all right? Amen. The subject this morning that I want to talk about, brothers and sisters, I want you to repeat this subject after me. Are four steps. Come on, say four steps. To turn a resolution into a revolution. Can we say it again? Four steps to turn a resolution into a revolution. Once again, four steps to turn a resolution into a revolution. Now, I want to thank the people of God for reading the Word of God in the house of God. This is the time of year where people are making resolutions. This is the time of year when people are thinking about their lives in a sober and serious way. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for closing one chapter, but yet opening another chapter in the book of life. Because it is in Him we live and we move, and we have our being. Amen? And so we thank God for another day of life. We thank Him for liberty and justice and all of those marvelous things. So this is a time of year we think about. It's a new beginning. When we think about our lives in a more introspective way, we do self-examinations, amen, and look at our lives in a new way. We know about our problems, but do we know about our possibilities? We know about our pain, but do you know about your power? You know what did not work, but do you know what will work? And I'm saying God can make a way out of no way. God is in the business of making new people. Now, there are studies that say that when people make resolutions, by the 15th day of this month, many people will have dropped those resolutions. That's why we must turn a resolution into a revolution. Well, what is a resolution? A resolution is a decision. It's a firm decision to do something. A revolution is a major change. One thing is to make a decision, but it's another thing to make that decision come true. Amen? So we need to be able to turn good intentions and good ideas into a major change in our lives. Amen? In 1775 to the year of 1783, there was the American Revolutionary War. This took place, a battle between the Empire, the British Empire, the Kingdom of Britain, and the 13 British colonies on the North American continent. And it's also called the American Independence War. And this war lasted from about 1777 to about 1783. And the decisive point in this war was when Spain and France and the Netherlands became allies of the colonists. And that was the turning point in this war, which lets me know that when you're trying to bring about a revolution, you're going to need some help. Amen. You're going to need some help when you're trying to bring about a revolution. We need heaven's help when we talk about our goals and things we like to achieve. We need God's help to try to bring about those things we would like to achieve. Because in 2015, you had to fight some battles. And in life, you have to fight some battles. In fact, in 2015, if you can say amen, you had to fight some spiritual battles. Because spiritual warfare was launched against you whether you were ready or not. And the devil, I told a preacher last night, I've never known the devil to go on strike. I've never known the devil, Wes, to have a work stoppage. I've never known the devil to even slow down, Brother Ron, in his attacks on human beings. So in 2015, we had some fights on our hands. We had some battles we had to fight. Somebody put it this way. He said that life is a fight for territory. And the minute you stop fighting for what you want, what you don't want will take over your life. So I have to fight for what I want in my life. But with God's help, I'll be able to be victorious. Can you say amen to that? So we need God's help to move to the next level in 2016. And we need God's help to make decisions and turn those decisions into major change, because real revolutions are taking place inside of people's heads. Real revolutions are taking place inside of people's hearts. Real revolutions are taking place inside of people's lives. So when we look at this text this morning, the psalmist turned a resolution into a revolution. There were four critical steps. I want to talk about these four steps that he used to turn a resolution into a rebel. Now, let me give you these four steps. Write these four steps down. We're going to come back and we're going to expound and elaborate on these four steps. The first step was I thought. That's the first step. I thought. Because thinking is a very critical and important part of life. The second step is I turned. The third step was I made haste. And the fourth step is I obeyed. These were the four steps he used to turn a resolution into a revolution. Now, the first step is I thought. Look at the text again. He said, I thought about my ways. This is a time where people are thinking about their lives. He said, I thought about my life. How many this morning happy with your life? How many this morning satisfied with your life? Amen. How many this morning been thinking about your life? He said, I thought the first, and thinking is one of the most critical things we can do in life. We need to be able to think clearly and be able to think well. Thinking creates problems. And thinking solves problems. Sometimes the way some people think is a problem. Oh, I wish I had somebody knew what I was talking about. Amen. Mr. Jim Rohn, one of the motivational coaches, said that one of the great challenges of life is to control the process of your thinking. Amen. Because you can't rise any higher than your thought process. That's why God said, the first thing I got to do, if I'm going to change your life, I got to transform your mind. Solomon said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then Longfellow said, what lies behind us and what lies before us a tiny matters when compared what lies within us. So it's important about how I think, because people get into patterns and habits of thinking. I talked about this morning in the Sunday school. You should have been here to have been blessed, but I'll just give you a little of it. Praise God, amen. You deserve that. You deserve that. I talked about this morning that some people, their thinking process is that nothing wonderful can happen for me in my life. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. I'm telling you this morning, something wonderful, something great can happen for you and to you in your life. But a lot of people have been beat down and beat up and put up by life, tied up, tangled up, messed up, that they don't feel like nothing wonderful, nothing great. I'm telling you, that's the devil's lie, because I can tell you about a man whose name is Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. God sent his son into this world so that something wonderful. He sent his son to teach me how to think. Amen. Then this man said, I thought about my ways. Now notice this. He wasn't thinking about somebody else's ways. Because a lot of time folks spend too much time in other folks' kitchen and don't spend enough time in their own kitchen. And somebody said, if you get to sweeping around somebody's porch, they'll start sweeping around your porch. Is that all right? So if you don't want folks sweeping around your porch, you stop sweeping around other folks' porch. So this man, now Jesus said, first get the log out of your own eye before you can help your brother. Amen? And too many people trying to get telegram, well, the wood chips out of other people's eye, and they got a telegram post in their eye. Amen? So he said, I thought about my ways. I thought about my life. And if you made a resolution, it's because you know something needs to change. Amen. You can't go with business as usual. Something has got to change. He thought about, where am I? He thought about, where am I going? He thought about, what am I doing? I thought about my life. Yes, sir. I did a self-examination. I thought about me. Am I where I need to be? Can I do better than what I'm doing? I thought about my life. So the first thing you got to do if you're going to turn a resolution into a revolution, you've got to think about your own life. And your first priority has got to be thinking about your own life. Amen? What mistakes did I make in 2015 that I learned from? Amen? Is that correct? The second thing he did, brothers and sisters, he said, I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. And the biggest room in the world is the room of improvement. And everybody here this morning need to spend some time in the room of improvement. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I know somebody can say, I ain't always been this pretty. Amen. I know some folks say, don't be patient with me. God ain't through with me. Yes. I'm under construction. How many can say this morning I'm under construction? That I'm a work in progress this morning. Is that all right? Yeah. So he said, I looked at my own life and I recognized that I need to spend some time in the room of improvement. And I know that my life doesn't get better automatically. I'm not going to get better in 2000, but somebody said that when you get better, everything will get better. Amen. He said, so I turn my feet unto thy testimony. He saw that he was going the wrong way. He was going in the wrong direction. You got to be honest with yourself. If you were traveling on the great interstates and highways of this nation and you found out you were going the wrong way, you wouldn't say, oh, well. You wouldn't say that. If you see in your life where you're traveling the wrong way, if you're doing something that's not in your best interest, if you do something that are against you, you can't say, oh, well. He said, I thought about my life. And then I made a decision. The prodigal son, his thinking got him in trouble. There are some folk want to get as far away from the church as they can. Spend less time at church. Oh, look at him. As they can. Amen. Amen. I thought about my life. And then he said, I turned my feet unto your testimonies. Now can I share something deep with you? God's wisdom can take the place of your lack of experience. Amen. I think I said something right there. Now watch this. Some people have positions but don't have the knowledge or the skills or the experience to fulfill the positions. Let me illustrate it. Young King Solomon had the position. He was the king. But he readily admitted to God, I don't know how to do this. I don't have the skills. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the understanding. Here I am, 2016, trying to live a life. Don't have the skills. Don't have the knowledge. Don't have the experience. So what am I going to do? So God, give me the gift of wisdom and understanding. And Lord, your wisdom can take the place of skills. Your wisdom, your knowledge can help me as I negotiate the difficult terrain of life. You see, what the young people, you see, every young person needs a mentor. Every young lady needs some woman in your life with some wisdom. Now, don't get anybody. Now, don't you get anybody. Yeah. You have a wreck. Is that all right? Every young man needs a mentor. And you know why you need it? Because you don't have the experience. And you need somebody who, if Earl has been down a road and he know what the road is all about, I do well to listen to him. Amen. Your sister Claudia has been down a road, and after 82 years of life, she got something she can tell you. She just had a birthday the other day. Praise God. Looking like her mama on that internet. Yeah, I saw you on there. Yeah, I was all on that internet looking at you. I sure would. But I'm telling you that if somebody has had the experience, we got to listen to somebody. Even preachers have to listen to somebody. You don't ever get too old where you can't use some coaching. Everybody. In fact, the people who achieve at the highest level, they receive coaching. Amen. That's why, Brother Sperling, not only do I preach and teach and counsel, I try to coach too. See, I've gone to another level. I coach too. Because I need it. And other people need it. So he said, I thought about my life. And I knew I needed to make a change. So I turned my feet to your testimonies. I turned my mind to the word. The word. I turned my feet because I may be in a position. I think Sister Faith talked about in the Thursday morning class. She had an experience. And perhaps you have. But people in positions on jobs don't bit more know what they're doing. Hello, lights. Then the man in the moon got a position but do not have the knowledge. Do not have the skills and do not have the experience. And then let me tell you number three. He said, I made haste. I made haste. That is, when I knew what I needed to do, I took action. That makes sense? I took action. I did not delay. And you know why? Procrastination is a thief of time. And a lot of people are procrastinating while the clock is yet ticking. A lot of people are procrastinating while time is running out on your dreams and your goals and your greatness. So he said, Brother West, I thought, I turned, and I made haste. That's the third step. I made haste. The Bible said there are a lot of people when it comes down to salvation, they procrastinate. They put it off. Instead of, but yet here's what God said. Here's the counsel of the sovereign God. He said, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. No time better than now. Procrastination means to postpone something that you know you need to do. And if you did it, it'll make your life better if you did it. How many this morning know some things you should have done in 2015? And if you had done them, your life would be better in 2016. So he said, I turn. Now, I want to give you a law. I'm going to give you two laws. I want you to write these laws. First law I'm going to give you is the law of diminishing intent. The second law is the law of total commitment. I want to talk about these laws, and I'm going to close. One of the reasons why we have to not procrastinate is because of a law called the law of diminishing intent, which means this. When you have a strong, positive emotion to do something, the best time to do it is when the emotion is strong. Because if you don't do it, that emotion is going to diminish. Now, emotions are a part of life. And a lot of people's lives are all messed up because they can't deal with their emotions. But God gave us emotions to feel, to give us the energy that we need to do those things. Sometimes if you get disgusted, that's a good thing. You say, I ain't doing this no more. Well, amen. Sometimes you get angry enough to turn your life around. Amen. Right. So the time to do it, and the devil tell you, not right now. Yes, sir. And the devil's game to defeat you is to keep putting it off. Oh, I'm going to do it. Yeah. Oh, I know it. Yeah, I know it. But you keep putting it. And the emotion. I'm going to do better. You feeling strong about it, but you don't do nothing about it. Man, I'm going to make that girl my wife. You're looking at her and she don't even know you. Like the temptation, just my imagination. Yeah. Running. Yeah. You're going to never holler at her, Lando. Lando. If you don't never holler at her, it'll just be your imagination. Running away with you. Amen? And so the minute you feel it, that's when you got to take action. I thought, I turned, I made haste, and I did not delay. Here's the last one. I obeyed. I obeyed. A great prophet by the name of Samuel, from which our Samuel is named, told a wayward, selfish, self-centered king, behold, it is better to obey than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. Amen. And we're going to lose playing the game of disobedience. The world is in turmoil today because the first couple in the Garden of Eden would not obey. They unleashed death and destruction into the world. People died because of what they did. Amen. And the Bible said, for by one man, because of one man's disobedience, death entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. Now, whether you believe it or not, you may not believe it, but sin is a big problem in this world. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. And whether you believe it or not, sin is a big problem in your life. Amen. Amen. And the only man I know that is qualified to deal with the sin issue is Jesus Christ. In him and him alone is salvation from sin. So he said, as I close, he said, I obeyed. Look at it. I thought, I turned, I made haste, and I obeyed. I didn't put it off. I didn't say, I know I need to do it. But instead, he took action. Now, I told you about a law of diminishing intent. Now, let me tell you about the law of total commitment by Dr. David J. Swartz in the book, The Magic of Getting What You Want. Here's what it says. Here's the law of total commitment. The law of total commitment says that if you are totally committed to something and focus on it, you can make it happen in your life. Amen? Now, can I go a little deeper, Dr. West? Let me translate it. Here's what it means. When you are totally committed, amen, then that means you will make whatever sacrifice, you will endure whatever struggle or hardship you have to endure. And when you do that, you will make it come true. So don't bind to this weak concept. You're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. That's weak. You got to say, I'm in it to win it. Amen? I'm totally committed. My own personal responsibility. Can't nobody do it for me. Amen. I appreciate Brother Harris, Brother Earl. Those are my brothers. Dr. White, Brother Rutledge. Those are my brothers. Ron. Amen. I appreciate my brothers. But it's something they can't do for me. I can ask them to help me if I need help. But it's still some things, Brother Spurgeon, I got to do for myself. Amen. I thought. I turned. I didn't delay. And it's so easy to tell yourself the old lie. I'm going to do it. Set my goal. Okay, I'm going to get started on January the 1st. Day the 3rd. You started? And the guy said, ready, set. Ready, set. Ready, set. Ready, set. Ready, set. Y'all ain't getting it. Ready, set. At some point, oh, great God Almighty, at some point, you got to say, go. You got to say, go. That the psalmist said, I thought he born. I turned. I made haste. That were those two laws. Remember these laws. And remember these laws. They affect us. By the 15th. You threw out a challenge to all the men. And I threw it out to the men. Because I figure if the men will step up, the ladies will follow. And the challenge is, we're asking all the men, if that's possible, to be here at 8:45. Now she said, what in the world are you over here for bothering me? Be here at 8:45. Amen. Because you know one person who put us to shame?
Talk about it, preacher.
Sister Juliet Ryan. She be sitting in here when I get in here.
Amen.
Tina, I don't know what time she get here. But I can tell you one thing. She thought. She turned. She made haste. And she obeyed. Is that all right? Say it with me. I thought, say it. I thought, I turned, I made haste, and I obeyed. Amen. Now remember these two laws, the law of diminishing intent. If you don't act on it, it's going away. But when you engage, the law of total commitment. Amen. The law of total commitment, then you can achieve whatever you want to achieve if you're willing to pay the price. Amen? I'm reading a book by Dr. Joel Fuhrman entitled Eat to Live. And it's just amazing. People who are on all kind of meds, struggling to lose weight, follow this wisdom. And I mean, the pictures of people, and one guy weighed over 300 pounds. He kicked in the law of total commitment, and now he weighs 168 pounds. And he's muscular and fit, which lets me know you can do what you want to do if you turn it a resolution into a revolution. Amen. So I'm saying good morning to you, but I remind you of the psalmist who said, Sister Johnson, I thought about my life. How many this morning can think about your life? Don't worry about nobody else's life, but just think about at this moment your life. Brother Wesley said, I thought on my ways and I turned my feet run unto your testimonies. He said, I turned my feet unto your testimony because through thy precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. I turn my feet unto your testimony because your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jimmy, I turn my feet unto your testimonies because your word is like a seed that germinates. I turn my feet unto your testimony because your word is like a light that illuminates. I turn my feet unto your word because your word is like a sword that penetrates. I turn my feet unto your word because your word is like a hammer that obliterates. I turn my feet unto your word because your word is like bread that invigorates. I turn my feet, are y'all getting this, unto your word because your word is like water that invigorates. And then I heard somebody say something about the word of God. Yes, there's something about The word of God is in a class all by itself. I heard somebody say, Brother Spurgeon, many years ago, I entered this wonderful temple called the Bible. I entered at the portal of Genesis, and I walked down through the Old Testament art gallery where the pictures of Noah, Abraham, and Moses, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel hung on the wall. Is that all right? I moved into the music room of Psalm, where the Spirit swept the keyboard of nature and brought forth the dirge-like wail of the weeping prophet Jeremiah to the great and passing strains of Isaiah, until it seemed that every reed and pipe responded to the tuneful harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. Is that all right? I stepped into the chapel of Ecclesiastes and into the conservatory of Sharon, where the sweet lysis filled and perfumed my life. Is that all right? I stepped into the business office of Proverbs and into the observatory of the prophets, and I saw various telescopes of various sizes, some pointing to far off events, but all concentrated on the bright and the morning star that would rise above the Judean hills for our salvation. Is that all right? And then wide I stepped into the New Testament, into the audience room of the King of Kings, and I got a glimpse of his glory from the standpoint of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Is that all right? Then I stepped into the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit was busy in the formation of the infant church. Is that all right? Then I stepped into the correspondence room, and I saw Paul, Peter, John, James, and Jude sitting, penning their epistles. Is that all right? And then I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, and I saw the King sitting on his throne, and I cried, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Yes, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Yes, oh, crown him Lord of all. Oh, it's something about the word of God. Amen. It's in a class all by itself. Amen. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. That's the message. I hope it bless you. This is the first Sunday in the year, amen. And I'm going to be here every Sunday if I can. Say amen if you can. Will you stand on your feet, please? That's the message. And somebody need to take some action this morning. Four steps. I thought. I turned. I made haste. And I obeyed. And I'm going to tell you something. If you take those four steps, you'll turn your resolution into a revolution. Amen? And then you can sing this song. Well, let me give the invitation, the Lord's invitation. If you're a child of God and you know, you thought about your life and you know you in sin, you living in sin. You thought about that. Yes, sir. I thought on my life and I said, I ain't living right. Well, I got some good news for you. Repent, confess, and pray, and your life can be restored. Amen. You're not a child of God. You're an alien sinner. You ought to think about your life. I thought about my life. I'm on my way to hell. I'm just a car accident away from hell. I'm just a drive-by shooting. The bullet ain't even intended for me, but it can hit me. Yeah. Young girl sitting in her bedroom, Brother Harris, doing her homework. Thugs in the street shooting. Bullet came through her bedroom. Shot her in the head and killed her. It can happen. So that's why we got to be ready. Amen? Don't put off your salvation. The best time for your salvation is right now, because if you put it off, it's going to be harder the next time. Procrastination will, I need to get saved today, but I got to go to I got to go to Olive God. Amen. I got to go to Old Charlie's. I got to go to my favorite restaurant, Chili's. Yeah, I like Chili's. Amen. Amen. You keep putting it off, and it gets weaker and weaker. But if you put it on, here's what you can say. I'm glad I know you. Oh, I'm glad you know me. We praise our God. Oh, yeah, we're one big
family.
Yeah, we lift our head to reach the sky. And I am so glad, so glad. Oh, you gave your life.